Romans 12, verse number 2. It says, just for time's sake, we won't read verse 1, although there's a lot there. But verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. This world. Remember, Satan's the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Anybody see God in this? Well, he's not mentioned. This is not God doing something, it's you doing something. I tricked you on that one. I didn't mean to trick you, but be not conformed to this world. The understood subject's you and me. God's not mentioned here. Be not conformed to this world. You and I are not to be conformed to this world, but you and I are to be transformed. Amen. How? By the renewing of our minds. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's telling us something. He's talking to Christians and telling us as believers something that should happen even after we're saved. This doesn't happen when we get saved. This doesn't happen because we've been in church a long time. I mean, that'll help. Don't misunderstand me. But if they're not teaching the truth, your mind is not going to get renewed. Or if it's not the truth, it's not going to get renewed very fast. I mean, if it's just partially truth. Pastor Nancy talks about going to church all her life up until I forget what age. And she never heard about the new birth. They never heard they were supposed to be born again. Well, their minds weren't being renewed. So, you know, what we've got to recognize, Satan is the god of this world. And when we think about Satan as the god of this world, we have to recognize so many things that that our minds thought before we got saved because we were out there in the world. So many things, when we get saved and start listening to the Bible, listening to the Word of God, so many things we run up against in the Word of God blow holes through everything we thought. Because our thinking was wrong. That's why it needs to be renewed. Renewed. And oh, do I love that word, renewed mind, a renewed way of thinking. We're going to talk about that tonight. And you have to understand, as it mentions the world here, be not conformed to this world. Satan, when the Bible says world, he's not talking about the planet. He's talking about the kingdom of darkness that has Satan as its head. And that's where all the sin is. That's where all the corruption is and all the, you know, perversion and all the illegal stuff and all the wrong thinking and all the crazy stuff people say and do. That's where all that is. It's in the world. And by spending time before we got saved in that world, our minds were corrupted. The Bible uses that term, our minds being corrupted. And so it needs to be renewed, meaning that there was some sort of degrading that took place or some sort of weakness that got in or some sort of error or wrong thinking or something. All these things, some sort of irrationality, some sort of false truth, false reality and so forth and so on that got into our minds. And there's only one thing that will expose it. One thing and one thing alone. In fact, you won't even know it's there, even though you're saved, unless you encounter this one thing. And that is the truth of God's Word. You can be saved and never encounter the truth and never realize, wait a minute, I'm thinking wrong about this. And be thoroughly saved. Because salvation is not something that took place in the mind. Salvation, I'm talking about the new birth, it took place in your spirit. But whenever that happened, you still have the mind and body of a sinner. And you're very capable in the flesh doing the same things you did before you were saved. By living in the flesh and because of the wrong thinking. And so that's what has to happen. The Word of God has to start washing us and washing that old way, those old ways of thinking out. And that's where the transformed life really, really comes from. Not just through the new birth. I know multitudes of people who are born again, but their life looks no different than the way it used to. They still listen to the same things, watch the same things, are bound by the same things, think the same way, and they're still limited, just as limited as they were before they got saved. They'll go to heaven. But how many of you know there's such a thing as days of heaven down here on this earth? Because their minds never got renewed, their minds are still controlled by Satan. He's the god of this world. And if they're living in this world, their minds are still controlled by Satan. They may not realize it, but they're still being controlled. Now, Satan's trying to take over you and my thought life. You have to know that. The truth is, before we got saved, to a large extent, he already had. You know what I'm talking about. What he's saying here is, we're to claim our minds back from the enemy and not let him have our thought life. We're to say, all right, I'm going to put one of those, you know, they work on sections of the street during the summertime. They can't do it in the wintertime. And they'll put that orange fence around it. And you can't cross that orange fence or you know, it's under renovation there. And that's what you need to do. You need to set up that orange fence and say, all right, Mr. Devil, this is now off limits. I'm going to wash this area. I'm going to wash my mind in the Word. And anything I see in the Word that counteracts what I have thought before, what you used to, you know, my old nature taught me and what living in the world taught me. And through just experiences I've had down in this life, that's where these funny sayings come from, you know. You know, you never can tell what God's going to do. You know, all these things are just out of the unrenewed mind, just out of experiences people have had in this world where Satan's running things. He's not running those that are born again, whose minds are renewed. But he's running everybody else who's in the dark. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the prince of darkness. The rulers, Satan's forces are called the rulers of the darkness of this world. That just simply means they rule over anybody who's yet in darkness. Somebody said, well, that's anybody that's not a Christian. Well, yes, but Christians sometimes are still walking in darkness. What is darkness? The entrance of his word gives light. Light. If the entrance of his word gives light, what does the absence of his word give? Darkness. So people whose minds are still unrenewed with the word have a measure of darkness in it. And that gives Satan rule. He can rule over those who are yet in spiritual darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Satan's trying to take over people's thought life, and we're to claim it back. The battle for our spirits has been won, but the battle for our mind and imagination rages on. The battle right now, there's a battle going on every day for your mind. The last couple of days, God's been giving me a glimpse at how different. I can't even tell you. I can't even put this into words. He's been just giving me little glimpses of how different it's going to be in heaven, where there's not that bombardment constantly. You ever heard people talk about that have had experiences? Maybe they were on an operating table or had some situation where they died, or maybe even had a vision, caught up to heaven. Every time they talk about how peaceful it is, and they don't want to leave. That's one of the big reasons it's so peaceful. There's not all that yakety yak 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 yak.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons.
Amen.
Amen. There's a battle raging for you and my minds. It's an intense battle. The battlefield of your life is your mind. It's not between Satan and God per se. It's between truth and lies. Of course, God's behind the truth. Satan's behind the lies. We understand that. But sometimes people say, oh, it's God and Satan. Well, get more specific is what I'm trying to say. It's really between truth and lies. Well, there's a battle raging between my health and healing and sickness and disease. No, there's a battle raging for whether you're going to hold to the truth or you're going to listen to a lie. That's the truth. That's the truth. All spiritual warfare that people talk about, all spiritual warfare is over light. It's trying to oppose the light, oppose the truth. That's what the warfare is over. And particularly, it getting in your mind and renewing your mind. Satan doesn't want that to happen. So the battle we face today is for our mind, our thoughts, and our imagination. Now, according to Romans here, the 12th chapter, according to this verse, all conformity takes place in the mind. If somebody's acting like the world, it's because of it's because of their thinking. Isn't that right? The thoughts and their thinking are not yet renewed, or at least a portion of their mind is not yet renewed. We're all under renovation still, and will be till the day Jesus comes. But if you basically are thinking the way most people in the world thinks about things, you've probably found an area you're not thinking right in. Be careful of groupthink. Watch out for groupthink. If those who are perverted and twisted in their minds and in the world and liars and stuff like that, like the news media, if they keep saying something, be careful that you start swallowing it. Because the way the group thinks is usually the wrong way. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's the truth. That's the truth. We're to resist the devil, but a big part of resisting the devil, a big part of doing that is resisting conformity. Conformity is the flow of the world. Transformation is the flow of God. Transformation is the flow of faith. Conformity happens with no effort. Transformation requires you to do something. And if you or I have never done that something, we have been conformed. I know it's tight, but it's right. These are things God has worked me over for decades about. Are you still out there tonight? The way a man thinks can make him miss God by 1,000 miles. I'm quoting somebody whenever I say that. I'm quoting myself. I said that many, many, many times. It can make you miss God. Jesus said about some people, he said, don't be like the heathen when they pray. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. The way they think doesn't, just because they think something doesn't make it right. We think because that's the way we think that makes it right. That's not what makes it right. The way we think is not the authority that makes something right or makes something wrong. We might think something's wrong. That doesn't make it wrong. Paul addressed it in one of his writings. I don't stand before man, let man judge me. He said, whether you think I'm doing okay or not doing okay, he said, I stand before God, not before man. In other words, if people praise me and think I've done a good job, that doesn't mean I've done a good job. It's whether God says I did a good job or not. Or if people didn't like something I did or the way I did something and they criticized me for it, that doesn't mean I did a bad job. Even if I think I did an okay job. Or I didn't do very good in that. That doesn't make me doing a good job or not doing a good job. What makes me doing a good job is whether God thinks it's right or not. It's all true. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it. Go to 1 Corinthians. I didn't plan on spending all this time on this. But I'm not interested in my plans as much as his. Paul said this, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 3. With me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself. Most translations say against myself. In fact, the margin of my Bible has a little letter B, and the margin says against myself. I know nothing against myself. In other words, I don't know of anything I'm doing wrong. But he said, yet am I not hereby justified? He that judges me is the Lord. And he was basically in the verse before that, verse 3, basically saying, whether you think I've done a good job or not, that doesn't really matter to me. I don't stand before you to give an account, he said. I said, I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account. Amen. So our thinking is not the highest authority in the universe, you know. What we think about it doesn't make it right. Sometimes when I preach about renewing the mind, lately I've gotten a little bit of the looks at, you know, from people like, well, you know, our minds are, you know, we don't think like we used to. But the renewed mind is on a scale.
Yes, sir.
You have not arrived yet, and I have not arrived yet with the renewed mind. We don't think like we don't think totally wrong today like we used to. But neither do we think totally right. We're still renewing our minds. And areas that we struggle in over and over and over again, continuously, that's an area right there. You've just found an area, whether it's me or you. Listen, we're all in this. Whether it's me or you, I'm not just preaching down to you. Whether it's me or you, that's an area of an that's where our minds still are not completely renewed. Why is Satan able to get in there? Because there's still darkness there. Still ways of thinking that are in the dark. In other words, the entrance of his word gives light. And the light has not penetrated that area of our thinking yet. Listen, that's why we must attend and think deeply. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate means to mutter. It means to think deeply into. Mindsets and mentalities are so deep rooted because of our upbringing, because of our surroundings, because of the way mama taught us, or because of something.
Yes, sir.
They're so deep rooted that just a casual glance 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week at the word, because we give a casual glance at the word 1 or 2 hours a week, that doesn't mean it's going to get rooted out. I am constantly amazed at things I see in my own thinking.
Yeah. Yes,
you might think, are you that twisted? not. I don't think so. But I'm constantly amazed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Just for example, what I used to think was big financially.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What I now I might be living in what I used to think was big financially. And God's and talking to God and looking in his word and listening to his spirit in my spirit, he's going, really? I'm just sharing out of my heart. I don't know about you.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Really?
Yeah. Amen.
You haven't paid the church off yourself yet? Really?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm not putting that on you. Like, I constantly listen. This is a full-time job. It's your occupation for the rest of your life, catching your thought life. So resisting the devil is not just looking for some being with a red suit on and horns and a pitchfork showing up. It's resisting conformity. Conformity, a lot of times, to what everybody around us thinks. Amen. And listen, Cedar Rapids, if I could just be sweet about it, Cedar Rapids mentality isn't too high.
No, that's right.
When it comes to finances, it's not very high.
No, you're right.
And you can get around a lot of folk that love God, but their mentality about sickness is it will destroy your faith.
Yes.
Be cautious about the conformity to the world's thinking about getting older and having little troubles with your body. That conformity, listen, I'm now 52, and I am watching that like a hawk. I got people in my family that are talking ways that are like, I am not accepting that. That if you're going to accept that, that's between you and God. I am not accepting that. If I got a knee that doesn't want to work right, you're going to carry me to Russia if I need to go to Russia. You're going to carry me to Brazil if I need to go to Brazil. You're going to take me where I need to go. And you just can't let thoughts in. Well, you know, we're over 50 and over the hill. They have, see, their mind are so conformed. That they think they think the way everybody else thinks.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
If people don't think you're strange, you're probably thinking wrong.
Yeah.
Because most people think wrong. And when you speak clear from the word and speak out of a clear, renewed mind, they look at you like, what? Tell the truth. Yes, praise the Lord. Let's get a hold of our thought life. What do you say? We got to guard our mind. Remember, the Bible talks about guarding your heart and guarding your mind. And so conformity took time, but so does transformation. Amen. The way a man thinks can make him miss God by 1,000 miles. Like, for example, sometimes we think we're waiting on God or waiting on the manifestation. So when people think that, their prayer life emphasizes working on the sending end. Like, God, do something. God, do something. You hear that, and that comes out in their prayer. Whenever that's wrong thinking so many times. So many times, it's not that God hasn't done something. There's a lot of things He's already done, everything He's going to do about. He's waiting on us on our end to lay hold. But we don't think that way sometimes. We're thinking it's God, and He's saying, I'm waiting on you. And that wrong thinking can make us miss God. We're saying, God, 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 do something, and He's going, I made my move. Remember the checker game? I made my move. Amen. So it's a process to get our minds renewed. Amen. It would be to our advantage right now to get with God's plan on this and get on this transformation track. I know we are, but I'm talking about just getting really, really get with it. I mean, cutting out some news. I've been cutting out stuff again. I just, you know, stuff creeps back in. Getting in the truck and listening to this, listening to that. I'm not talking about wrong music. I'm talking about just talk radio and stuff like that. Why not turn on the Word?
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, I've been listening to the Word in church for an hour. I'm going to turn on something else. Oh, so you overdosed. You got an hour, and it just, I mean, you're going to have to go get treatment because you... If that's the pace we want to go, God will meet us at that pace. But don't wonder why things are taking so long. Well, glory. Remember whenever Brother Hagin on his, it was really his deathbed. The doctors were saying there's no hope. But that one doctor came, I heard you listening to it today. A doctor came, was a doctor, I believe, and said, well, have you ever listened to read the sports in the newspaper? Do you read any novels? Do you read any Westerns? Do you read anything like that? Do you read the funny paper? That's what they used to call the comics, the funny paper. And Brother Hagin said, no, I don't have time. And the guy said, oh, you're laying here 24 hours a day. What do you mean you don't have time? He said, I'm too busy meditating on the Word. Nah, that's extreme. I mean, we don't have to do that, do we? No, you don't have to. You get to. But he came off the deathbed. And that man said, well, if you just read the Bible all day and that's all you ever think about, you're going to lose your mind. Brother Hagin said later privately, he said, thank God I did. I lost my mind and got the mind of Christ. And it got me right off that sick bed. I mean, if you want radical results, let's get radical. What do you say? Let other people call us nuts. It's not them that, you know, saves us, heals us, delivers us whenever we're up against the wall and we need help. It's not them. You ever notice they're not there? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. So, but this process takes time. It'd be to our advantage. We'd go ahead and get with it, wouldn't it? So this transformation process of renewing the mind can happen. Notice he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the flow of the transformed life. I mean, of the renewing of the mind. It's the transformed life. How many of you know a transformed life is a life that looks totally different than it used to? Totally different. If it doesn't look totally different, you're not in the flow of the transformed life, which is the renewed mind flow. Hallelujah. And so there's times whenever You don't have time to renew your mind whenever Satan can attack in certain ways. I've discovered this. Terminally sick people with an unrenewed mind, to try to get them healed is a little like trying to teach a drowning man to swim. It's too late. Somebody said, for God? No, for them. It takes time to get the mind renewed. See, you're smart. You show up at church on Wednesday night because you're not waiting for the devil to hit you with something before you decide you better get your mind renewed. You're how many of you know to be wise is to be ready ahead of time? I mean, you're already doing something with your thinking about by his stripes I'm healed and what his covenant is and what his rights, your rights are in the covenant. Is that right? And so it takes time. It takes time to renew the mind. It takes time to lay hold. You know why an unrenewed mind takes such time to lay hold? Because the way you think determines the way you believe. If your thinking's wrong, your believing will be wrong. And if your believing's wrong, you can't lay hold of what God has for you. Amen. And when your thinking is wrong, your thinking might be that Satan's bringing this or... Your thinking might be that God's putting this on you so that, you know, you can learn something or whatever. You understand what I'm talking about? And so you don't resist it because you don't want to resist God. See what I mean? Wrong thinking can make you believe wrong and therefore miss God by 1,000 miles. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, Satan takes advantage of ignorance. I mean, you can have a head full of data and facts and be ignorant of God's word. That's what we're talking about, God's word. And so then Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. So when you don't have the knowledge of your rights and privileges in Christ, you give place to the devil. In other words, he gets the advantage over us. And that... In the Hebrew there where it says in Hosea 4:6, it talks about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word destroyed means cut off. Cut off. So they're cut off from what God has for them for a lack of knowledge. In other words, you and I have the knowledge of God and his blessings and our rights and privileges. That way we can appropriate them. But if we don't have that knowledge, we lack that knowledge, what God has made ours, Satan will take advantage of that because there's no knowledge there, and therefore there will be no resistance to him when he moves in to try to steal, kill, and destroy. The result of living without right knowledge and right thinking is conformity. Listen very carefully. Conformity means... I looked it up, to voluntarily accept a condition without resistance. To submit with no resistance. I'll say that again. Voluntarily accept or submit. We can put them both together. To voluntarily accept a condition or to submit to a condition without resistance. It means, listen to this, to resign oneself to their condition. When you don't have or I don't have the knowledge of God's word, or it's a limited knowledge of God's word, that opens the door for conformity. That opens the door for us to submit to whatever Satan brings into our life and resign ourselves to a new condition that wasn't there before. That's why God said it's dangerous to, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You could say it this way, it's dangerous to not know the word. It's dangerous because Satan will take advantage of that. He takes advantage of ignorance. Am I getting through on that? And so the danger is you won't know anything different. You won't know that you can resist that. And so therefore you conform and resign yourself to that new area of bondage. That new area of sickness, that new area of a bad habit or a way of thinking or something like that. It can happen in one's body. It can happen in one's mind. It can happen in one's, take for example, a thought of offense. And people say, I just can't let go. It's an unrenewed mind. I said it's an unrenewed mind. I'm not, I'm just telling you what the Word says tonight. And so what that does is enables people, it brings people into a place, they don't know that the love of God shed abroad in their heart. They don't know that that love is in there and they can act on it when they don't feel like it. They think love is a feeling or forgiveness is a feeling. And so all these things where they have wrong knowledge, it keeps the devil holding them in that area. And so now they're having trouble and things aren't working right in their relationship with God, in their relationship with other people. And even sometimes it opens the door of the devil put bondage on their flesh, on their bond, you know, like sickness and disease or something like that. Amen. And so it brings a conformity rather than a transformation, which is a life going from glory to glory to look more like Jesus himself when he walked the earth. That's what the transformed life looks like. Want to know what transformation looks like? Look at Jesus when he walked the earth. Speaking to storms and they stop. That is a whole, where did he get that thought? He didn't get that thought from any man, because no man had ever had the thought that he could speak to a storm. But Jesus got that thought from somewhere. He just didn't get it from human or natural people. He got it from God. Hallelujah. And what did it do? It raised him above natural living. Conformity. Amen. And he lived transformed. Go over to Isaiah chapter number 55. You getting anything out of this? I might not be done with this tonight. So we find here that Isaiah 55, while you're going there, we're going to read some verses here, but while you're going there, if there's areas of your life that are still ordinary, or just as ordinary as any other man, that area hasn't been transformed yet. ouch. Isn't that right? There's still room for transformation in our thinking. Because transformation will lift us out of what's common and into a supernatural life. It'll lift us into something that's extraordinary, something that stands out, something that makes people go, what? Amen. A couple of months ago, I was around some old preacher friends I hadn't been around for a long time. And I was just sharing with them some of the blessings of God. And they were all chit-chatting and I sharing some of the blessings. I didn't share too much. I just shared a little bit. Just rejoicing. I thought maybe they could rejoice with me. I thought maybe they had progressed. And I just shared briefly. And they were all chit-chatting. They go like, what? What? And you could tell, it didn't even register on them what I said. Yeah. It's like, it's beyond their thinking. Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to get down on them, and one time it was beyond my thinking. Right. It's not wrong to have wrong thinking, it's wrong to stay there. I'm buzzing on the inside with this tonight. Last Wednesday night, I received the offering. I said, God's really dealing with me about this. I don't know if you remember that. He's really, really dealing with me about this. Oh, and I love it. I want God to get the scrub brush into every corner of my thinking that's not right and just start going, and I'm going, that hurts so good. I love to be challenged. If you don't like to be challenged, you might be in the wrong church. Actually, you're in the right one. You just don't know it. Anyway, Isaiah 55, verse 7. It starts in verse 7. We'll read through verse 11. We'll read these verses and then we'll comment on them. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, underline thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, now notice he's contrasting his thoughts. He said, are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's quite a ways. That's how far above our thinking his thinking is. Oh, my goodness. We got a ways. Can we come on up a little bit tonight? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, oh, oh. Boy, that challenges me. But look at the next verse, because he didn't just leave us there. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It'll accomplish that which I please. It'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. All right. In verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher, verse 9, higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But then verse 10 is basically saying, I sent my thoughts down there. I sent my thoughts down to you. As the rain comes down in the snow from heaven, he had just compared his thoughts being as high as the heavens are above the earth. You see that? Then verse 11, so shall my word. Okay? In verse 8, underline for my thoughts. Draw a line down to what you have underlined. I'm going to have you underline in verse 11, my word. Draw a line under my thoughts in verse 8, under my word in verse 11, draw a line between them. And then if you want to write off to the side, you can do this. His word are his thoughts written down. See, he said, my thoughts, but then he said, my word. So he's saying, my word contains my thoughts. My word is, aren't your words your thoughts? Unless you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking your thoughts. That's the way God's word is. You want to, oh my, how much time you got tonight? What he's telling us is, I sent my word down because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, but I sent my word down there to you on earth, and it contains my thoughts. I sent it to you. Hello? And he's basically saying, I'm offering you my thoughts. Take them. Think them after me. Make them your own. Oh, my goodness. He's saying, think my thoughts after me. Are you getting that?
Yes, sir.
And he's telling us that will transform our life. He's saying the same thing here as he said over in Romans 12, too. How do I know that? Because he said, my thoughts are in my words, and just like rain comes down and transforms the earth and makes everything grow and explode. That's the way my word will be in your life. It'll transform your life. It will transform. I mean, I've been to California. I don't know how many times out there. And Southern California is normally pretty brown. You know, the grasses are brown and stuff. But there's certain times of the year they get a lot of rain. And the last time I was there, it was all brown. Then I go out again, and all of a sudden, it's all green. And every time they'll say, we've been getting a lot of rain. That just transformed the whole countryside. Transformed everything. And he's saying, that's what my word will do in your life. It'll transform everything. Things that weren't working, start working. Things that weren't growing, start growing.
Amen.
Things that weren't increasing, start increasing. That's why he said, it'll prosper where I sent it.
Amen.
Woo! That's the power in the word. But it doesn't just get sent from his mind to the situation. It's from his mind to your mind and your thoughts. And even down into your heart. That's the soil that it gets planted in. And then it starts doing its mighty work. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he's telling us it'll transform our life. Just like rain transforms the earth, makes it bring forth. It makes it a beautiful thing. How many of you know an old dry desert is not very beautiful? But boy, things start growing. Everything gets beautiful. And that's what he's saying. Your life can become so beautiful. So gorgeous to behold. Such a thing that makes us go, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Everybody that sees it goes, glory to God. But notice he refers to his thoughts, and then he also refers to your thoughts. And then he tells us that the process of taking his thoughts, he offers you his thoughts, offers you to take them, and that process will renew your mind, and it's the work of making God's thoughts your thoughts. Do that work. Of taking God's thoughts into your thoughts. Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so the reason he wrote his thoughts down is so we can make them ours. How do we make them ours? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Meditate therein, day and night. That means to mutter and to think deeply into. And when you and I do that, it puts the verse in us and us in the verse. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We see ourselves the way he sees us. Can you say amen? But that doesn't happen until you get absorbed into it. Until you get caught up in it. You got to let it engage your attention. My son, attend to my words. Engage your attention. You have to let it. It doesn't happen because it's on your coffee table. It doesn't happen because you come to church even. It happens because you meditate on what's being said. And then when you leave, you keep thinking about it. And then when you go to bed, you keep thinking about it. And when you get up, you keep thinking about it. And light will start coming in. Light will start coming in. Light. And you'll go, wait a minute. I've been thinking wrong about something. Hallelujah. But this word has to grab your attention. You have to let it engage your attention. You have to get engrossed in it. You have to get taken up with it. Excited about it. Impressed with it. Let it fascinate you. Let it captivate you. Let it delight your spirit. Hallelujah. Be distracted by it rather than allowing the world to distract you from it. Somebody said, "Man, you're really under attack physically." I'm distracted from that right now. I'm thinking on this. I'm meditating on this. We're not denying natural realities. We're just not paying attention to it. We're not giving it the courtesy of just being our minds being absorbed by it. Woo! Glory be to God. For far too many people, the word is competing for too many other things for their the word is competing with too many other things for their attention. Faith has too much competition. Well, I don't have time. Then you better cut some things out of your life. You have time for what's important to you. Give your attention to what builds faith. Give your attention to what renews your mind. If it doesn't build faith and renew your mind, is it necessary? So the process of renewing the mind is the process of making God's word our own. What does that mean? Making God's word our own. That means making God's thoughts our thoughts. It means thinking God's thoughts after him. But God needs your attention to work that process. In Romans 12:2, he didn't say God will renew our minds. He said we're to be renewed in our minds by meditating on the word. So he needs our attention to begin that process. It's a beautiful process. God will help us with it, but he needs our cooperation. We must cooperate with the word. And like I said, some things that are defeating us are too deep rooted to get out that mentality out just by a casual glance at the word from time to time. The problems may seem insurmountable. You know, Jesus said to the Mark 11:22, 23, and 24, you can say to a mountain. A mountain seems like something that's totally immovable. It's just impossible. A mountain, it seems impossible. You can't move it. You can't get it. It's just there. That's what we call. That's why we call them the everlasting hills. Some of you already went to sleep. It can seem impossible. It can seem insurmountable. And it can seem as everlasting as the everlasting hills. But if you will start taking God's word, planting it in your heart and mind, and speaking God's word, those things which seem insurmountable seem everlasting. They've been there forever and ever, and they're going to be there forever and ever. It seems like they're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. They can start being overcome by the power of this word right here. This word, this word, this word. Somebody said, I can't. Nobody expects you to, but you should expect the Word to do it. You should believe this Word can do. What has never been possible for me can become possible. Because my mind gets renewed to this Word. It gets planted in my heart. It puts something in me that makes me able to do impossible things. I used to never be able to walk in this place. I used to never be able to walk at this level. I used to never be this free in my mind from offense and bitterness and prejudice and hatred and jealousy. And every time somebody did me wrong, I just got all eaten up. But here you are after renewing your mind with the love of God.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Come on. All of a sudden now, you're a different person. You have to pinch yourself.
Yes.
I'm not bound by that anymore.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I know people today, Christians, bless their darling hearts, Christians that are so bound by a poverty mentality. I'm just sitting with one talking to them, and they just, everything that came out of their mouth was how big the cost is and how hard it is and how expensive. You can't do this and you can't do that and can't do the other. It only took a few minutes of me sitting there realizing I clicked off. I will not be doing any business with you. That's bondage in your mind. I said, that's bondage in your mind. When the only thing you can ever think of is the cost, the price, how much does it pay? You need to stop looking at the tags in the store. Well, where did that come from? If the only words that can ever come out of your mouth, we can't afford that, or what's the price, you're bound. Your mind is bound. Well, that went over real big. Everybody still love Pastor tonight? There needs to be, what needs to be filling your mind is supply. Amen. You're no longer carrying around every thought is about how much it's going to cost or can we afford that or how much money do we have. But your life is transformed into one that's full of supply. Your thinking is full of supply and these higher thoughts of all, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. You see the natural realm, but you look right through it to supply. Woo, glory to God. I'm preaching myself happy, happy, happy. Pastor, happy tonight. Praise the Lord. I don't even have page 2 done, and we got to quit. I got about 8 pages. I haven't been getting out near like what I come to service to preach lately. I don't know. Praise God. So this is the process we're in. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to go ahead and sign up for this process. Transformed is God's word for a supernatural change. In other words, that's the word God uses for supernatural change. It's called transformed. I like it. I like it. Walking in a place and walking in a way I could never walk before. I'll never forget the first time that I saw the fruit of walking in the love of God and forgiveness work in my life. Somebody started throwing abusive language at me. And I had been fed and sitting under the Word in Bible school on the love of God and how love forgives and so forth and so on. I used to always get all hurt and offended and hurt and hardened, you know, bitter against that kind of thing. I'll never forget it. This person started spewing that out, and the compassion of God came out of me. I felt so sorry for him. I went, oh my goodness. I almost started weeping. You're so bound. I hurt for them. And I walked away totally free. That's a transformation. That's a supernatural change. That's what God's word for transformation is. Supernatural change. It's not human. It's not natural. It's God's will, though. Amen. You know, sin can cause a life to appear to be something that is so damaged, it just needs to be thrown away. I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad, they started buying antiques. And my mom and dad bought them in an auction one day, an old antique refrigerator. Not electric, you put ice in one section of it. And that thing was all ugly and, you know, wasn't sitting straight, and it's all rust. The hinges were metal, and they were all rusty, and just it was a mess. And in my thinking, you just throw it away. But you know, in God's way of looking at the way sin has done damage in our lives, He never looks at a life that hasn't been impaired by sin and say, we just need to throw that one away. My parents saw something beneath all the, I forget how many coats of paint there was on that. You know why? I was the one who was aware of the coats of paint because I was the one Mom gave the stuff to pour on there and a mask and a putty knife. I think it was like 7 coats of paint, if I remember right, on that thing. I mean, light blue and then white and then another color of gray, just all these colors of paint. And it was like deep. You pour that stuff on there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And my parents could see something beautiful underneath the cover, underneath the outer shell of that thing. And by the time, it's still sitting in my mom's kitchen right now. But that thing is gorgeous today because of the renovation that Pastor Jay put it through. No, my other brothers and sisters helped me some too, but you know, Mom and Dad just kind of guided us, showed us what to do. And Mom stuck those hinges, took the hinges off, you know, the old screws, they probably, you know, break off when you try to get them out, but, you know, get new ones, drill them out, and then she'd take those hinges, she'd dip them in this stuff, and they'd come out all clean, all that's gone. Then she'd dip them in a, today they look gold-plated or something. It wasn't really gold, it was some kind of shiny gold color. It's just beautiful, it's all shiny, like brass or something. Maybe it was brass, I don't know what it was. But it's just beautiful today. And that's the way God sees us. Sin's done a lot of damage to us, and a lot of people think, just throw them away. God looks at it and says, I have a process. I've got a process. Of course, the new birth is the beginning of it. Not doing away with the new birth. But so many times we come into the new birth and we still have a bunch of stuff messed up. And He says, I know exactly what to dip them in. I know exactly what to take off of them. And I know exactly what's powerful enough to get all that ugliness that makes people want to throw them away. I know how to clean that all up. And look at them. Their life will be beautiful. And people will go, what happened to you? Anybody had old friends from high school that have said things like that? What is up with you? Pastor Debbie went to her whatever reunion. And they look about half, they all look real old, you know, messed up. She's young, bright, vibrant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I did it. I preached myself happy. Hallelujah.